Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Hoss on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hossack, we are Mike and the Hoss. How are you doing today, Charlie?
I am fantastic. Are you okay today, Mike? You got your...
No, Eric just forgot to put me on
the right game. It's kind of funny. We were talking at the beginning of the show about how Mike always ends up on something different. First off, before the people that are enjoying us on Facebook Live can see, I don't know how you can have, seriously, your microphone so high. It's just like you're sitting up. I gotta
sit up.
I know. I guess so. But I just kind of like to get in. I get into the groove here. All right.
Well, but this way, I talk to you.
That's true. Well, we're also talking to our listeners as well.
Okay. You just all of a sudden you sounded really good just now.
I mean,
so Eric made some adjustments.
Sounded really good. I just want a quick shout out before I talk about me, and then you were also saying before the show that you feel like the show is all about me. So we'll have to maybe address that.
I think that was the last show.
We might have to have some counseling in here. Like on the air counseling, Eric can arrange that. I do want to give a shout out though to my buddy Ray. Ray is listening live right now in Cleveland. So Ray, love you and miss you, man. And I'm so happy that you are listening to Mike and the Hoss on WASR.
And go Browns.
Yeah, go Browns. Cleveland. Yeah, that's exciting for him. I know he's not from Cleveland, but that's where he's working now.
Usually at this time of year, the football season is in the rear of your mirror.
I know, I know, and I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about the NFL later. That's going to be,
we got all kinds of good stuff to talk about.
There's lots of good stuff to talk about today. But you asked me how am I doing.
I did a while ago.
But I know I'm doing great. It's awesome. It's Tuesday. We got two shows this week, Tuesday and Friday. School went well today. Thanks for asking. And it's just, I don't know. We're kind of in a weather funk in a way a little bit because we've been dry for the past couple of weeks, and it looks like we're leading into the weekend with some warm weather and rain, which is
mid 40s, an inch and a half of rain.
Totally bizarre. Isn't that bizarre?
Kind of like April.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. So, Mike and the Hoss, powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro, can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM, and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive $5 off your gingy box. And always join the conversation, 569 Lake, 569-5253. We had a bunch of calls last week.
We did, which was awesome.
It was good.
And last week we had trivia, and we'll do trivia on Friday, so people can look forward to that.
Today's Eric's Wonders.
Today, Eric's Wonders, and Eric gets so excited about this segment. So I can't wait to educate Eric on a little something later on.
That is Eric's Wonders, brought to you by Skelly's Market, too.
Yeah, Skelly's Market,
sponsoring that,
which is great.
So it was a good week. I mean, the big news. Well, we're going to do opening takes first.
There's a lot of news, yeah.
Let's do opening takes because that's part of the news, too.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty big news.
Opening takes, it's good. We're kind of doing it together today, which is nice.
We are.
It's a good opening take. So for those of you that don't know, Coach Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots, soon to be something else, prediction by Mike the Hoss.
Right. No, by the Hoss.
Just by the Hoss, okay.
And I think that cemented it that you're wrong.
Okay, I don't know. Well, we'll see. You know, I don't. The Hoss hasn't been wrong that much, has he? Probably all the time. Yeah. All right. So, Coach Bill Belichick was offered the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest honor that a civilian can earn from the President, obviously, of the United States. And we were a little concerned. Do you agree? I mean, we're definitely concerned. We were concerned in the sense that, was Coach Belichick going to accept it? Was he going to say no, thank you? How would this impact New England sports? How would this impact the Patriots? You know, that type of thing. How would it potentially impact all of New England sports? And maybe even to the point of saying that, you know, New England has a bad rap, of being a racist area with sports, and it goes way back, and we've talked about this on our show, and how would this, in our current political climate, if Coach Belichick were to accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom, how would this impact the New England Patriots and the rest of New England sports?
And you thought that his decision about whether he was going to be coming back next year or not was going to be a little is going to weigh in as far as his decision to accept this award.
I did, yeah. It was interesting. So, not to bring on the drama much longer.
Okay.
Coach has come out and said that he's not accepting it. And I think it's important, and you're okay with this, right, that I read the statement from Bill Belichick?
I'm okay.
Okay. Recently, this is from Coach Bill Belichick. New England Patriots. Recently, I was offered the opportunity to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I was flattered by, out of respect for what the honor represents and admiration for prior recipients. Subsequently, the tragic events of last week occurred, and the decision has been made not to move forward with the award. Above all, I am an American citizen with great reverence for our nation's values, freedom, and democracy. I know I also represent my family and the New England Patriots team. One of the most rewarding things in my professional career took place in 2020 when, through the great leadership within our team, conversations about social justice, equality, and human rights moved to the forefront and became actions. Continuing those efforts while remaining true to the people, team, and country I love outweigh the benefits of any individual award.
So when it came across that he was set to receive this award, he was supposed to get it this Thursday.
Right.
What was your first feeling? What was your gut reaction when you saw that?
My gut reaction was actually I was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I was uncomfortable because I think in the past, if you go back maybe to 2016, I think there was, and there still may be, a relationship between Bill Belichick and President Donald Trump.
Apparently goes back a long, long
time. Yeah, not
time
just
ago.
So the presidency, yeah. But I mean, Donald Trump's been around forever.
Right. So is Belichick.
Yeah, no, I get that. So I think that relationship was formed, you know, obviously pre-president, you know.
Pre-politics.
Yeah, pre-politics.
It's not
so
easy.
So, I mean, I was uncomfortable and I was, you know. It really, we texted a little bit and said, if he does accept this award, and I think you were the first to come back, if he accepts the award, there isn't going to be a single player on the face of the earth that's going to want to come play for Coach Belichick and Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it was I don't know how difficult of a decision it was, but there would have been a lot of repercussions.
Oh, yes.
If he did accept this award. Given what happened last week, and giving the whole tenor of what's, you know, happening at the NFL level, with the BLM movements,
yeah,
and
just our whole,
you know,
national,
and
just,
the whole, everything,
yeah,
everything, just the climate,
the entire
that we're
United
in,
States. Yes.
It would have been very difficult for him after going through this fall, and he spent a lot of time, and he was very vocal about, and Devin McCourty was very vocal about how involved Belichick was in those discussions that they had,
right,
about the social injustice and so on. It would have been very difficult for him to walk back into that locker room and garner the respect of the players, mm-hmm, with what the president, if accepting an award from the president, with how he's talked about some of the NFL players.
Right.
I was relieved. I was relieved when he didn't accept it. I didn't think it was necessarily a slap in the face to the Washington D.C.
Right.
I thought it was in support of who his players are, and I really felt that it wasn't about Belichick at that point. He was doing it in reference to his players.
Right.
That his team.
I agree, and
everything.
I think that's what I read. What, yeah, what he wrote. I think you're right, and I think the other thing is, let's kind of play the what-if game, because that's what radio guys do. If he accepted it, it really would have been the kiss of death.
I think so.
It would have been his career. He would have been tarnished. You know, this is a Hall of Fame coach. His players, like you said, they'd lose respect for him. And he would go. He wouldn't be going anywhere. He wouldn't be coaching again. He wouldn't be a general manager. He wouldn't be, you know, he'd be Bill Belichick retired on his yacht.
It would have been difficult. I was looking last week. So I did a little bit of research about the Presidential
Medal of Freedom. Sure.
And I'm thinking, why is Belichick getting this, you know, ahead of a war veteran? Or I guess a war veteran would be different, right? Would they get a different award?
Well,
how about a police officer or the Capitol Police, or
sure,
going down the line.
Yeah, you give it to a civilian. Yep.
So last week, Annika Sorenstam and Gary Player got the award.
Yeah,
on Thursday.
Yeah.
The day after.
Everything happened at the Capitol.
So, you know, that was kind of looked on in a little bit of a negative light. Understand the audience, understand the time, too,
right,
at that point. So then I did some more research, and I'm thinking, again, why are Annika Sorenstam and Gary Player getting these awards? Isn't this Nobel Peace Prize people, and, deal. And then I went back, and it was, you know, even in past presidencies, it was Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, it's kind of you give it to your cronies, your friends, right?
Right.
So my expectation is if you ever become president, that I may receive an award like this.
I can promise you that I guarantee you that if I become president, you are going to get that award.
And I'm going to accept it.
And you'll be just in line with everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just bizarre. And I think I don't want to say it taints the award a little bit.
No, but you're right. Didn't you think, I kind of looked the same thing, didn't you think like you had to have done something?
A hero.
Yeah, like, I don't know, something. I mean, I get, you know, a six-time, champion with the Patriots is
But it was about
exciting,
celebrity. It's about rubbing elbows with celebrities.
I know.
And you go down the list of the awards, and so many of them are just celebrities.
Celebrities, entertainers.
Yes, and it is just, to me, it tarnishes that award a little bit. That,
right.
I mean, we celebrate celebrities so much that we call them heroes. We pay them more money than anybody
right.
else.
Yep.
It is kind of insane how we revere our celebrities.
Yeah.
And now the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I know. It's almost like a parting gift, right? It's like, hey, I'm leaving the White House. Here's my parting gift. I'd like to have you get this award, you get this award, you get this award.
Well, it is. You get an award.
Yeah.
You get a pardon.
Yeah.
You get an award.
President
you get
Trump's
a pardon.
Like Oprah right now. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. Yeah, it's crazy because it takes away the value of something that and it was started back by JFK. Back in the 60s, and I don't think the intent, looking at it, and I know you did some research, that wasn't the intent of it back then.
I was just surprised. And I heard some newscasts that, this current administration has made a mockery of this award. He hasn't done anything different than the previous administrations
right.
has.
People are just upset.
I mean, everybody's, I'm not a big fan anyway, but it's really not that different than what other administrations have been doing.
Right.
They give it to, like you said, their friends and who they want to rub elbows with.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just people that have done, I mean, there are some in there that have done great things, you know, and I would make the argument Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has done a lot of stuff for, social justices and so on. I'm not sure Michael Jordan has.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Michael Jordan.
I mean, I'm sure he's contributed to charities and things like that, but.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm not standing up for Michael Jordan. He doesn't need me to do that for him, but I think. There's a relief, sense of relief that Bill hasn't accepted this. We've got a couple more minutes before we have to go to break.
Well, wait. Let me ask you a question. Now that, there's a relief he doesn't accept it, what's the impact for the Patriots that he doesn't accept it now? So we said what would happen if he does
if he
accept
did, yeah.
it. So now what's going to happen if he doesn't accept it?
I think he solidified who he is, what he believes in, and I think his players are going to rally around him. I mean, I think he truly believes in social justice, equality. He has a love for his players, and I think it goes beyond just the organization and just representing Robert Kraft. I think we are seeing truly who Bill is. It's really hard to know who the true Bill is. He's not going to give you anything in an interview. You're not going to learn a whole lot about him. The only way you can learn things about Bill are through his players or previous players. And a lot of it's been pretty positive.
I think this is going to move the needle. I think there's going to be players that want to come play for him.
So you're saying that this is a situation
I'm going to
where
football now. I'm going to
okay,
football now.
So you're saying, okay, hey, this is how Bill feels. I want to become a Patriot.
I think a lot of people will feel that this was a heroic move.
Okay.
By him, because he pushed aside that individual accolade for the betterment of what he felt is, the causes that he's been fighting for with
right.
his team.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see some players that are going to want to come and play for him that wouldn't have before. And I think the amount of respect that he's garnered by not accepting this award.
Yep. And making that statement.
And making that statement.
People are getting to know this is the real Bill.
Is it the real Bill? Is it the real Bill? Or
I think it's the real Bill. I don't, it's one of those things. I think Bill is obviously highly intelligent, and I think if Bill truly didn't believe it, Bill wouldn't have written it.
That I will agree with. I will that this was not something. I bet you had heard a little bit. I mean, getting that award,
yeah,
that's something you put up on the mantle. It's
right,
a little bit
course.
Better than the Cal Ripken Trophy. It's just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I think that this probably did hurt a little bit, but I think that he's looking at. All right, what's my legacy going to be?
Right.
And who do I care about that legacy being about? Do I want my legacy to be about the NFL and my players and what my players think of me?
Yeah.
Or do I want my legacy to be about my political views and who I support.
My accolades and like that outside of NFL. Yeah.
And I think that that's – and his players came out a lot. You know, Teddy Bruschi, that's my coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of big, strong statements from his players about how much they not only agreed with, but how thankful they were that he did this.
That he didn't accept.
So
I heard they're just going to give it to Tom Brady.
Would he accept it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
At
this point, I don't think anybody's accepting it.
Oh, there's
right now. You think there'll be some people?
Well, okay.
I mean, obviously, we don't need to start naming names. I guess I could name a few as well. Yeah, but probably not in the sporting world.
No, because I think it's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough sell to your teammates,
right,
if you accept that, or your players, if you accept that award, and especially with this climate that is so toxic right now, that. It would be tough for any player or any coach or any owner
to accept that.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Mike and the Haas on WASR.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. COVID got you looking a little sloppy, need a little trim, need a little haircut. Why don't you look for a new family stylist? We recommend Water's Edge Salon in beautiful Back Bay. Owner Sarah Morgan has been a hairstylist in our community for 15 years. Sarah is accompanied by Paige Moore, another experienced stylist. Water's Edge is open Monday through Saturday. Call Sarah and Company at Water's Edge Salon at 515-1070.
Or get the number at watersedgesalonnh.com.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or duranindependentinsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Haas. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night. After your meal, play a round of golf on the only golf simulators in the region. If you mention Mike and the Haas, get an hour of golf for the super low price of $20, a $5 savings.
Hey Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. Yeah. Welcome back to Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the MM Shop. All right, big news last night.
Huge news.
Huge.
Can I just offer one complaint again? We need to figure this out. It's like your commercials. It's just like all Mike. I got a little bit in there. That's it. But it's like it's like Mike heavy. I don't know if it's Eric. I think it's. I think you might be saying, "Hey, Eric, let's go real top heavy with Mike."
If it's all me on one segment, that means it's going to be all you on another.
I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. All right. So let's get to the big news. Something big happened last. What was so big that happened last night?
Kingswood Sports are back.
Yeah, Kingswood Winter Sports.
Yeah, Winter Sports are back. Shout out to Aaron House and his whole crew and staff as far as getting us. I was shout out to Peter Kelly.
Yeah, Peter Kelly,
He was behind the scenes doing a lot of work, just trying to get the public involved with this decision.
Right.
And putting, I don't want to put pressure on the school board members, but making the
just
school
making
board
them
aware.
Yeah,
of
make them aware
the,
what's
the,
going on.
The not consequences, but the effects of not having sports,
right?
And so it was really a community effort. It was really kind of a rotten month when we didn't think we were having sports.
It was, so it was like we found out on back in the beginning of December that sports had been canceled, and it was great. It was a long meeting last night, but there were people there that spoke obviously on behalf of winter sports. Aaron House, the athletic director, had actually put together a proposal for intramurals in case winter sports didn't return, but started by asking the board, and I think it was Timothy Eldridge on the board, I think, made the proposal. And
7-2, so it was,
yeah. So he made the proposal, and it got seconded, and it was just a good conversation. And it's great that winter sports are back. And I know that Mr. House couldn't be on the show today. We asked him to be on, and I know he'll be on in the future. And he can't be on, and I understand why, because he is working right now behind the scenes trying to implement. How is he going to implement winter sports? Because we've got to, you know, we've got to get these kids practicing for a couple of weeks. You've got to get games scheduled.
This is the first week of games in the NHIAA.
Right.
And so we were supposed to be playing games this week. And I know that he didn't abandon the schedule necessarily, but a lot of other teams did. When they heard Kingswood was down, that became open nights, and so they filled it in.
And they filled it with other teams.
So he's got his work cut out for him trying to build schedules, and they're going to be modified, obviously.
Sure.
And I'm assuming it's going to be an open tournament at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll probably try and get him in here on Friday so he can go into the real details of it. We have a coaches meeting on Thursday night just to go, you know, reiterate all the precautions.
Here's the plan,
and,
right?
You know, there's some things that he said last night that I appreciated, and one of them was that COVID is here. We've got to learn to live with it.
Right.
And, you know, we've been doing it at school. We are still in school. I know we're not in school 5 days a week.
Right.
But we're going back to school next week.
Yep.
That also
going back
came
to
out
a hybrid. Yep.
And, you know, so the kids are getting educated. There's sports going on. I told you my son's playing, you know, for the Wolves team in Laconia in addition to the high school team now.
Right.
There's all these basketball leagues going on. People are learning to live with it through mitigation and being careful and, you know, wearing masks.
I agree. I mean, you have to because you know what it's like. I mean, everybody knows what it's like living in a pandemic now. It was crazy when we were kind of locked in our houses and couldn't see each other because we didn't know as much as we know now about COVID and how to prevent the spread. And I think it's huge that we're able to bring back sports to Kingswood. It's also huge that we get to go back to school in the hybrid model. You know, we're currently on remote because of the surge of after Christmas. But I think it's so important. And the kids are excited. You know, the few kids that I've talked to or student athletes are excited to be returning because, you know, they get to be with their friends again. And they get to have some, we've talked about this before, some sense of normal. And I'm not, I refuse to use the term new normal because I know I'm going to stick with normal because at some point in our lives, we're gonna be back to our old normal, and I just think it's important for us to continue to move on, even if it's small steps in our lives.
There was a lot of excitement last night,
yeah,
from the kids and from some of the parents because the parents see their kids lying on the couch and
right.
Like, you know, God, and they're like, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna play video games? It's winter. In the springtime, they were able to get outside a little bit.
Yeah, and, you could go to the Nick, you know, and have fun.
There was a little bit of flexibility. They don't have that now,
right?
And so, just that good news, something to look forward to. It's gonna be modified. I don't know how many games are gonna end up. Originally, it was a 14-game schedule.
Yeah, I think it'll be like the fall, like, you know, the fall that
like
we didn't have a full
games.
6 to 8 games. And I just, you know, and I know Mr. House is going to get it going. I just hope there are some openings so that these teams can play and that the other teams haven't, you know, filled up everything.
I would be surprised if the other teams aren't open to making that schedule work.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure Kings would do that for these other teams, too.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, one thing that's come out of it is the NHIA, the local teams, the Lakes Region teams, whatever, have really worked together through this.
Right.
And, you know, he mentioned last night that Division II sports have all agreed to wear masks during games. So there's not – remember we talked about that in the fall? Mm-hmm. I think it was a Newmarket versus Epping game. It was a soccer or something like that.
Right.
And
One
team did not have a mandate for masks.
Right.
And the other team did. So the team that had the mandate for masks had to forfeit the other game because the other team wouldn't wear masks.
Wouldn't wear masks, which is, you know, that's – it's ridiculous. That other team should have worn masks to accommodate and play the game.
But so all of Division II have come to an agreement that –
We're
going to
wear masks.
And we're going to follow these rules.
Right.
I mean, it's still going to be different. We're not going to have fans in the rink or the – we're not.
Well, there'll be fans. I mean, I know that there will be fans for basketball. It'll just be – it'll be different.
It'll be different. There's 27 fans allowed at the rink right now. 27 is not a lot.
27. That would be one parent per kid.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've gone to a high school hockey game the past few years,
oh my gosh, they're packed,
mobbed, and and that's what the kids want to do. They want to play in front of their friends,
of course.
So you're not getting it. It's not perfect, but it's better than what
it was. Better than not playing.
All right. So hopefully we can get Aaron.
Yeah, maybe
Friday. We'll come
Friday.
That'd
be great.
Friday. All right. So I do have some Red Sox news that came out, and I know we're still a month away or so.
I know, but it's always appropriate to talk baseball any time of the year.
Trading Benintendi.
Yeah, we're celebrating this, though, aren't we? Aren't we?
I think
we,
so.
We had talked about this.
That's what they get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Benintendi fan. And actually, Ray, who's out here on Facebook Live, my buddy, he's worked in Major League Baseball and all that stuff, and he knows Andrew Benintendi. And it'd be great at some point, buddy, if you could call in and we could talk baseball. But I'm a fan, but at the same time, I don't think there's much use for him anymore as a Red Sox player.
Yeah, I love the swing.
Beautiful swing.
I love the game. Yeah. I don't like the demeanor that he carries himself with as far as out there. And he had a really bad year last year.
He did. He struggled. But you see that, go back to the demeanor. This is my take. He carries himself like he's Carl Yastrzemski.
Well, this is something that we used back in basketball when we were talking playoffs, the ego to talent ratio.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I think that his ego to talent ratio is way off.
Yeah.
It is way off. That his ego is real, real high.
Yeah.
And he had that ego coming in as a rookie.
Right.
And he hit a lot better as a rookie, and as, you know, even a second year, he hit better. What's happened now is I just wonder how much he works at it. He obviously he's a naturally gifted baseball player.
Right.
That swing is just butter.
It's beautiful, yeah.
But if you don't make contact, you can have the nicest swing in the world. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And so I just wonder how much he works at it because of that ego to talent ratio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right on it. And it's just, I hate to say it because there's just something about him. You're like, it's time to move on. What are we going to get for him, though? That's the thing. What are you going to get for Andrew Benintendi?
You're going to get pitching prospects. That's it.
For the minors.
I don't think you're going to get anybody that's although maybe there's somebody. I mean, he was the number 7 pick, if I'm right. I mean, he was a pretty high pick.
He was.
Maybe there's another team out there that really loves him and that they feel like they know what's going
on.
Could
be a good fit for them.
He has been successful wherever he's been.
Yeah. It's just tough because he had a tough season last year. So that's, nobody – I don't say nobody, but a lot of people don't look beyond, like, a few years ago. Oh, looks like
we have a phone call. Hello, you're calling Mike and the Hoss. Hello, you're calling Mike and the Hoss.
The phone's still ringing.
We are having a tough time answering the phone. Hello, you're calling Mike and the Hoss.
Hi, I was calling about the COVID thing and the talk about the football.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, go.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, well, I wanted to ask them if they had any idea where the Spanish flu came from.
Where the Spanish flu came from? We're talking like back in 1918?
That's right.
Okay. So where did the Spanish you're going to educate us, because if we were to say Spain, we would probably be incorrect. So where did the Spanish flu come from?
It came from Kansas.
Okay. So tell us a little more. Educate us on that.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to educate you on is if you don't even know that about history,
yeah,
you ought to STFU about what the hell to do.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling Mike in the hospital. Talk to you next time,
buddy.
Take care. That is fantastic. So the Spanish flu is apparently from Kansas.
All right.
All right. And that's all. You know who else is from Kansas? Dorothy and Toto. They're from Kansas.
I didn't think we went there too much on.
I don't know.
COVID
stuff.
I don't know.
It's all good.
I mean, he might have heard a previous show. Shows we've been a little bit more aggressive.
I mean, we appreciate the call. So if you want to call in, don't please do call in 603-569-5253 or 603-569-LAKE.
So getting back to some quick baseball here.
Yeah.
We're okay with them getting rid of Benintendi.
Yeah, definitely fine with that.
All right. And I had asked this question in our notes here. Are you excited, besides baseball coming back?
Well, obviously, I'm excited about baseball.
But what are you excited about with the Red Sox?
I guess
taking aside the baseball, what excites you about the Red Sox right now?
Devers. Devers excites me. I like Devers. I'm really reaching for straws here.
You seem really excited right
now.
Yeah,
I am pumped. Yeah, Rafael Devers. No, I'm not excited about the manager. You know that.
I know, and I put that on here.
I know.
Do you still feel the same?
I'm not I obviously was a Cora fan, but it goes back to that. I don't want to rehash our previous shows. He's a cheater. Cheat, cheat, cheat. Yeah, so I'm not happy with the fact that we have a cheater as a manager.
Okay. So I mean,
what are you excited about?
I'm not excited about anything with the Red Sox besides the Red Sox baseball coming back.
Yeah.
I don't think they've really done anything exciting this offseason.
Right.
And you know, the Hot Stove League is about doing things that excite your fan base.
It does, yeah.
And
nothing right now.
And you and I put this on our notes pretty much on a weekly basis, and we usually don't get to it because there's really nothing. Trading Benintendi has been the most exciting thing that's happened over the winter.
It has. And even that is still, like, hidden with, you know, if you look at Twitter and stuff, like, that barely comes out. You know, they'd rather talk about Marcus Smart for the Celtics.
That's
because
true.
Because Benintendi is not that exciting.
Okay. When we come back, we are going to have Eric's Wonders. And what are we talking about with Eric's Wonders today?
We're going to talk about passer rating.
In the NFL. Quarterback passer rating.
Yeah, QB passer rating in the NFL. Quarterbacks.
Okay.
Eric has been waiting most of his life for this.
We'll be right back after the break. Mike and the Haas and WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Haas. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your health care needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. If you're in the real estate market, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Fay brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Fay, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Fay. No one knows the local market better than Fay, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their gingy boxes. Gingy boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a gingy box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas at yumyumshop.com.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas and WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. If you want to join the conversation, 569-5253, 569-LAKE.
Yeah, so the song, Little Kansas, bringing us back in after the break, which is kind of nice.
Well, why did you choose Kansas?
So, you know, so Eric confirmed for us, our previous caller today, about the Spanish flu originating in Kansas. So
it's always nice to be educated about that.
I like being educated about that. And I didn't realize it was Dr. Mike and Dr. Haas here talking about COVID, because I didn't think we were presenting that. But we do appreciate our callers out there.
I'm going to have to listen afterwards and just see what triggered that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, feel free to call back. We don't want to say don't call back, because we'd love to hear from you again. All right, is this our segment?
Really?
Yeah, we love everyone. Actually, why don't you let us know, Mike, how do people call us and talk to us?
I think I just said it, but I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Turn up your microphone a little bit. 569-5253, 569-LAKE.
Okay.
All right. So, Eric Wonders, on Tuesdays after the break, Eric is always has different wonders.
He's got a lot of wonders.
About some of the things that we talk about. And so we've compiled a list of what Eric's wonders are. And today is about the NFL quarterback rating.
Yep, QB passer rating.
Yeah, and how that's
and
figured
how
out.
It's figured out. And so, Eric, that being said, I know that, Eric's told me this privately, and he may want to correct me, that his favorite quarterback of all time is Tom Brady, which just makes sense. Is that true?
I said that. Yeah, sure.
Yes, all right. Tom Brady,
right,
who's going to the Super Bowl this
Brady,
year.
Yeah.
Can you just get into what passer rating
is? Yeah, okay. So the way they figure out QB passer rating is completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown percentage, and interception percentage. And they have a whole lot of math that goes into it. We probably should have had Mike explain this because I'm not going to explain the math, but they have all this different math that goes into it, and then they figure out a rating. But here's what's important. NFL quarterback ratings between 0 and 158.3. All right, that's where the rating falls. The thing about passer rating is when you look at a quarterback, you can't just say, oh, this quarterback has a passer rating of, you know, 97.2 and say, you know, he's a great quarterback. He is. He's a great passer. All right. What you need to consider, though, with a quarterback, it doesn't take into account the other qualities of a great NFL quarterbacks, such as the ability to scramble, the ability to read defenses, the ability to call audibles, the ability to run. That's really important. But I wanted to share with you just a couple of...
Wait, before you start sharing stuff, let's talk about this. So first of all, I'm disappointed you don't have the math here. I was looking forward to the math.
Well, you can get the math. You can just Google the math.
Honestly,
it would have put people to sleep. I was looking at the math.
Is it that much of an equation?
It's challenging.
Okay.
Yeah, you can look at it up.
All right. So...
Mr. Math.
So you're saying that quarterback rating is not the only indicator as far as what makes a good quarterback.
It's definitely not the only indicator. That being said, it's interesting because an old-time quarterback, say like Jim Plunkett.
Yeah.
Jim Plunkett, in our eyes, it's like a 67.3 quarterback rating of all time, which in our eyes wouldn't be very good. You know, you're like, whatever.
Different time, though.
Yeah, different time. Different time, you're right. But then you take a look at quarterbacks of the number one overall right now is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is still playing, plays for the Green Bay Packers. His overall rating is 104.93. All right. And then you have one of my favorites, and Ray, if you're still out there, you know this, brother, because you know this guy.
Not Cam Newton.
Steve Young, San Francisco 49ers, Steve Young. Love Steve Young. And number three, of course, the greatest quarterback of all time is Tom Brady.
Solid 8 points behind Aaron Rodgers.
Brady's at a 96.62. Isn't that crazy?
I don't know. Is that crazy?
I mean, it's crazy as far as when you look at QB passer rating.
Why isn't 104.93 crazier?
Well, 104.93 definitely is crazier. And then you also have to look at the amount of time that these players have been playing. You know, Rodgers and obviously Brady have been playing a long time in the NFL.
All right, I'm going to throw some darts at your board here. So,
yeah,
Tony Romo.
Yeah, he's number five.
He's a loser.
You're right, because you're talking about he didn't have those other abilities that make you a great quarterback.
You mean running around? Like Tom Brady runs around and rushes for 50 or 60 yards every game?
I'm not talking about that. Tom Brady can read defenses, and he knows what he needs to do. He can audible and say, you know what? This pass route that I've just called isn't going to work. I'm going to hand the ball off.
But the rating isn't taking into account your mental acuity. It's saying that how many times you throw the ball compared to how many times you throw an interception compared to how many times you throw a touchdown.
And also, why do you think Brady's rating is so high? Because think about the passes he's always thrown to the slot receiver, you know, the Edelmans of the world. He's throwing those short passes that go for tons of yards after the catch.
Yeah, but...
So my
point is that I don't know if passer rating is that great of an indicator on how good your quarterback is, because Tony Romo is number five here, and we're both in agreement that
I don't think we're arguing with each other. I think we're in agreement.
Okay,
I agree that just because your QB passer rating is outstanding, it doesn't mean you're a phenomenal quarterback. Because I would not put Tony Romo
with this group.
I would not put Tony Romo with Aaron Rodgers, Steve Young, Tom Brady, or Peyton Manning.
No, he's really the ugly duckling out of that group.
Yeah,
and it just surprised me. If you would have told me that the first four, that made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How about your boy Joe Montana? Where does he fall?
Joe's like down at like 16. He's way down there. Yeah. I mean, not way down, but as far as the scheme of the NFL.
I mean, I think quarterback is the most important and most difficult position to play in professional sports.
I agree.
And it's not a surprise that each one of these guys, except for Tony Romo, had their teams were very successful. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers, who has one Super Bowl.
Right. You got the Packers, Steve Young. Yeah.
You know, he's probably going to get the MVP this year.
Steve Young got the 49ers, of course.
Had one Super Bowl. He was backing up Joe Montana, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Tom Brady's okay. You know,
he's okay. Peyton Manning has three.
Yeah, well, he's got one with
Denver, two with Indianapolis.
Colts.
I think he's got three.
Yeah, three.
Maybe it is two.
I think it's just two.
Peyton's a good, one and one.
You know, good quarterback. And then Tony Romo.
Who I think he won a playoff game, but I'm not sure.
Maybe. I don't even like – well, this is maybe another topic. I'm not even a fan of him as an announcer.
My argument here is that I just don't know if it's that valuable of a stat. We see it flashed all the time, especially when a guy has, you know, hey, his passer rating is 158.3. It's
a perfect game. Yeah.
But does it move towards wins? Does this – if a good passer rating, does it translate to wins?
Right, because you can have a good passer rating and not win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. But you know what's more important? That Eric's wonder. This was like Eric's been worried about this and wondering about this and wanting to talk about this. And he's over here now. He's just so excited because he can go home tonight and he could tell his wife, I now know how they figure out NFL QB passer rating.
All right.
And I still know that Tom Brady's the greatest of all time.
Real quick, it's fine. I'm a Tom Brady fan. You know that. I'm a Tom Brady fan. I'm just
you are
not
a fan. You're just really down on him this season.
I was down on him last season. This is residual from last season.
Okay.
On how he went out.
I'm going to try to get you out of the funk.
How he went out. I didn't like that. Did you see the game? The Brady Breeze game this week. It's brought to you by the History Channel.
I did see that. Brought to you by the History Channel. Ancient civilizations.
Holy mackerel. Yeah. I mean, Brady's 43. Breeze is 40, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's 40.
It's going to be fun. Well, we'll talk about that later.
We will. All right. Real quick, let's just hit the college football game last night.
Oh, there was a game last night?
There was a game last night. Alabama, you called it. Alabama won big.
Yeah. It was a blowout.
It was a blow. It wasn't really much of a game. Yeah. We talked about all the number ones that they have on Alabama's.
Right.
Justin Fields, little shine off of that.
I know. There is a little shine off of Justin Fields.
How about Mac Jones? What do you think about Mac Jones?
I like Mac Jones. I mean, he's going to.
Would you be happy if the Patriots drafted him?
Obviously, yes.
Really?
I'd be fine with that. But I know there's someone else you're probably excited about for the Patriots.
Well, yeah. I would like to see Devontae Smith in there.
I understand Devontae Smith, but I'm talking about current NFL players. Who do you want to come to the Patriots?
Deshaun Watson.
Okay, you want Deshaun Watson?
I want Deshaun Watson more than Jimmy Garoppolo.
So we have Jimmy Garoppolo out there.
I thought
you were going to say Taylor Heinicke.
No, I think the fact that
one game wonder
Deshaun Watson is out there is, I think it excites Bill.
Yeah.
And I think that is a level of player that he is a franchise quarterback. Garoppolo, I'd be happy if they got Garoppolo. You know, if it's not Watson, I'd be happy if they got Garoppolo. I don't want them to grab somebody off the pile of, you know, crapola.
What's right. Yeah, I hear
you. And I think Taylor Heinicke is, you don't know, he had one game.
I know, one game wonder. Yeah, but he had a heck of a game, though.
He did, and it was great. Yeah. I love rooting for the underdog. I don't want to root for the underdog when they get to New England.
Right.
I would like to have somebody that's established.
Yeah.
And I think it's Deshaun Watson. What do you think about Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt coming to New England?
Ooh, wow. You know I'm a big J.J. Watt fan.
Yeah.
So
I'm not,
I know you're not, which is interesting.
I'm not, but I think it would be
pretty
cool.
We like a lot of different players.
That's what makes the show good.
Yeah.
What we saw last night was just basically men versus boys. That's how I took it last night.
Bama was so good.
And Nick Saban, I don't know how many that is.
18, right? Oh, I mean, for Alabama, it's 18.
How about for Nick Saban? It's got to be five or six anyway.
Definitely.
I mean, he's been there for a while. He's obviously a great college coach and a great college recruiter because they just continually just keep putting these guys out.
Yeah. And he's, you know, obviously he's someone that needs to stay in the college ranks. You know, it's interesting when you see these coaches, some come up to the NFL and aren't as successful. So I think when you find your niche and it's a different game, obviously, in college, and they need a different coach.
Well, they have control in college. They have control.
Yeah.
First of all, they make more money than the players do, which does not does not happen unless you're Belichick. It doesn't really happen in the NFL. And there's the egos that they deal with in the NFL. They don't have those egos in college.
Right.
They're happy to be there, most of them. I mean, you got a couple divas that come through, but I think it's easier
to coach.
Yeah,
especially the NFL. Every one of those players is number one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. I mean, we start talking Celtics a little bit here. They had an interesting weekend.
They did with the COVID protocol and all that.
Yeah.
Be
careful.
I got to be careful. Yeah. We may be getting another phone call. But I think with the Celtics, and you've ignored it. You've ignored what I've kind of put in our notes.
No, I saw it.
Yeah. The Celtics are where are they in the East?
They're first place.
First place in
the
East.
They are in first place.
So if we back up a little bit, I mean, you had the Celtics not even like I honestly feel like you had him not even making the playoffs.
No, that's not true. Don't put things in my mouth.
No, that's I said how I didn't say I didn't say you said that. I said that's how I feel.
Oh my God. I get enough of how I feel. So
this is how I feel. My feelings right
now. I said that they were middle of the pack, 3, 4, 5. That's where I had them. 3, 4, 5. I'm still sticking to that. They are 10 games into the season.
I get it.
I don't trust them. And you and I had a little text chain the other night about Marcus Smart's reaction to a game-winning shot.
So when Peyton Pritchard put that back in for the game winner, we're not going to say it on the radio, but Marcus Smart, all he was doing was dropping F-bombs about why wasn't a foul called. He could care less that his teammate just hit the winning shot, that the Celtics won. He was just so upset that he wasn't fouled and didn't get the chance to go to the line.
Yep. I think it's a bad sign.
I agree with you.
I think that is a bad sign.
You know, if he cares more about himself than he does the team, that's a problem. Because we were building him up, Mike, that he was going to kind of become the new leader of the locker room.
He's not a leader doing that.
He's not.
And that's going to have reverberations throughout that team. And you know, I was excited for Peyton Pritchard. I mean, it was a great play by him.
That's great play, great win.
They need to give him more time. Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart, though, that's a bad look.
Yeah.
It's a bad look, and that's part of the reasons why I just don't trust that team.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen Tatum do the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
it's that kind of that superstar.
He's got a chance at, you know, to 6 times a game-winning shot, and he takes 3s from beyond the arc.
Right.
So that's not a good thing. All right, when we come back, I still want to talk about Celtics, but we've got to talk about the NFL weekend recap.
Sounds good.
All right, Mike and the Haas on WASR. Mike and the Haas is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Lindis Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Lindis Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513, or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Lindis Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with 2 large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. We forgot to mention that Eric's Wonders is brought to you by Skelly's Market.
Yeah.
Just
a convenience store with a little more.
With a little more. More what?
More of everything, Eric.
They have everything there.
Because you need to go there. You need to get some Bailey's ice cream. Delicious.
Well, I was
get your
wondering.
Pizza. Yeah, it's wonder. That's an Eric's wonder.
Everything.
Right.
We should bring Chip Skelly in sometime. So Eric's wonder, and he could talk about the market.
Yeah, when you go up there, just ask for Chip, and he'll come right out and help you out.
Drove by there. You know, I almost stopped in. I drove.
You should.
By
he's got the best
day.
Gas prices around too.
I saw that. But yep. I didn't need gas at the time.
Yeah, you need to pop in and say hi to Chip. Chip's there pretty much 24/7. So it'll be good.
All right. I want to wrap up the Celtics real quick. I didn't think that COVID would be the third rail here, but they were ravaged by COVID.
And
should they have played? They ended up canceling the game.
Yeah.
So they were gonna go into the game. They only had 2 guys above 6'4". One of them was Taco Fall.
Yep.
Their whole starting lineup was out. Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're pretty much they were decimated. They were
decimated,
and they ended up canceling the game.
Yeah. I mean, kind of as a Celtics fan, I kind of wanted them to play. It kind of would have been fun to watch. You know,
that's how I feel.
You know, that being said, I'm sure they're like, "Oh, you know, we can't afford a loss or this that." I say play. Whatever you got, play.
And I believe that at this time, you have to learn to live with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a take last week that I wasn't allowed to do because you took the whole time.
Sorry.
But one of them was that there should be an unlimited roster.
Yeah.
That if you have COVID and you got to justify the COVID thing, you can grab from your minor league team.
Yeah.
You can
grab were saying that. The Red Claws, main Red Claws. You know, grab
down,
from them.
Let them come down and play it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay up there. They're actually pretty good.
They're actually really good.
And
they're
going to compete. These are not necessarily seasoned NBA players, but they're potential NBA players.
Right.
It would be a game. It wouldn't necessarily be a blowout, and it would be fun to watch that.
Yeah.
So I thought they should have played. I was disappointed that they didn't.
And it would have been awesome because, you know, you figure you have so few players, and then, you know, fouls become really important. You know, if so-and-so fouls out, I got to play. You know, I'm only playing with six guys.
They have to have eight guys to play.
Yeah.
They can't play a game without eight guys, they had, like, nine.
Yeah, how cool would that have been?
It would have been neat. And Taco Fall would have had to play the whole game.
I know.
And we've been
– We love Taco Time.
We do. So.
Did you see one of the memes going around, though? It was bring back Brian Scalabrine.
I saw that.
Yeah, White Mamba. Man,
I
love him.
I got this, coach.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Good stuff.
All right, so one of my favorite weekends of NFL is Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah.
And it was even better
this
weekend.
This was much better.
Eight games.
It's just
six games.
Eight games, yeah.
Six games.
But 3-3.
Usually it was four.
Yeah.
And so you got to watch TV from 1 until 11:30 at night if you were really into football.
Right.
And you could do it. And a lot of them were really good games.
It was awesome. It was awesome. So, so the only two teams that didn't play were Kansas City and
Green Bay.
Green Bay. Yeah.
It was great. I liked that extra team. I think that they should move to this. I think we talked about it last week that they should move to this format where it's seven teams make the playoffs.
Yeah.
One guy gets a bye, and then the other six teams have to fight it out.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think it would be pretty good. So did you watch any?
Come on, Mike. Of course I watched football.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't watch every single minute of every single game, but I watched, I would say, 80%.
Okay.
75%.
So any, you want to start with any particular game?
Well, I mean, you have a kind of an order, so let's go with the order put in. Let's Colts and Bills.
So,
I was disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I wanted the Bills to lose. And it was a good game, 27-24.
For the sake of the NFL, I'm kind of happy that the Bills ended up winning because of that call. Fumble call, or non-fumble
call,
however it was. That would have been happening in Buffalo. That would have been tough to take up there.
Yeah.
So
I guess you're right. I guess I wanted Buffalo to lose. I'm not a Buffalo fan. I guess deep down, I'm happy for the Buffalo fans. They kind of deserve it. And when we talk about Cleveland, same thing. But there's a guy that I go back and forth with on Twitter who's a huge Bills fan. And I think it's exciting for them. And we've talked before, you know, Bills mafia, this and that. But
it's a good story. I'm not a Bills fan. I've never been a Bills fan. Going back to my first NFL game that I went to was the Jim Kelly days against the Patriots, and it was miserable.
Yeah.
So I'm not a Bills fan. They should have won that game. They barely did win that game. I don't believe in the Bills. I hope the Bills end up losing.
Right.
I mean, we'll do our picks
on
Friday show.
Friday. Yeah.
But
after the injury reports come out.
That's right. After you need to do your studying.
Yeah.
Ravens at the Titans. That was an upset.
Yeah. I picked it though. You didn't give me credit for that.
You did. The Ravens won 20-13.
Yeah. So interesting though, with all the controversy, you know, standing on the emblem, the two coaches don't like each other. I don't know about you, but I mean Harbaugh and Vrabel and stuff, but I like them as coaches, but I don't really like the Ravens or the Titans.
No.
I had to pick one, so I went with the Ravens.
And, you know, Lamar Jackson, I don't think he's very good.
No. It was funny because he was my fantasy quarterback all year.
Really talented.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Patriots beat him.
Yeah.
The Patriots beat him, and what we're seeing is that, and we see this all the time in the NFL, these new players, you know, Robert Griffin III, and, you know, you keep going down the line, Michael Vick.
Yeah.
They come out, and defenses have a difficult time with him at first.
Right.
And then they get figured out, and they realize that Lamar Jackson's not a great passer.
Yeah.
He can run, so as long as you keep him in the pocket, you're going to be okay.
You'll be all right.
No, he still ran. I mean, he still ran for, and they won the game, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I worry about the Ravens this
one
year.
Of the and I agree with you. I'm not worried about the Ravens. One of the things that they were showing highlights and stuff, and what made me feel really old, they showed Aaron McNair, you know, and I was like, that was like 1999.
The snow game.
Yeah.
For, no, No, you're talking Steve about McNair.
Steve McNair was like 99, wasn't it?
Well, he Aaron was in McNair. That. Yeah, he was in there. He went to the, he went to the Super Bowl and lost in like the 1 foot line.
Yeah,
remember,
yeah.
1 foot line of the plate.
But
St.
I mean,
Louis.
That was looking at those highlights. I was just like, oh.
But later on in his career, they came. I think it was still Tennessee at the time. Came to New England and remember the snow game where they had like 24 inches of snow.
Oh right, right. I went back to the. I thought you were talking about the snow.
No,
game.
No.
That was
like,
ago.
Oh, I think it was 03.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was 03 that they played that game. 03 or 04. And they're shoveling snow in the stands.
Yeah.
And it was a great game.
Yeah, that's back when they pay like $10 an hour to come shovel the stadium, give you a game
they
ticket.
They still do.
Yeah.
They still do that.
That's cool.
All right, so Steelers at the Browns. To me, this was the game of the weekend.
it made me so happy.
It did, because the Steelers have been talking smack, and Juju Smith-Schuster has been talking smack and jumping up on the emblems and doing all this kind of stuff, saying Cleveland doesn't have anybody. And I'm not a Cleveland fan, but I certainly was rooting against Pittsburgh on this one. And
we always root against Pittsburgh.
At the end of the first quarter, it was 28-0.
Yeah.
That is the most points scored in the first quarter in NFL history.
I know. Isn't that crazy? And I got – you saw my text. I got a little worried because Cleveland was starting to play like Cleveland and starting to want to give it away.
Yeah.
And I just – I'm just glad that the Browns held on. I'm happy for the Browns fans. But here's the other thing. Never a Steelers fan, never a Ben Roethlisberger fan. And, you know, at the end, did you see him? He's crying and stuff. And I kind of
– Roethlisberger?
Yeah. I can kind of consider myself a compassionate guy. I don't care. Retire. Right. I never want to see your face again.
He's a bad dude. He's done bad stuff.
Yeah, bad stuff. So Ben's going to enter our list with Kyrie Irving and all that.
Well, and he's going to be dramatic about it for the next 3 months. He's going to be like, I don't know, should I retire? Should I not retire? He just likes. He's one of those guys that likes that attention.
Right. For the sake of the game, for the sake of the team, go away.
You know, I don't wish ill will on anybody. Sort of the NFL.
No, of course not.
I do wish that he would go away.
Yeah, just don't play anymore. we don't want to see you.
That drama, and I wish Mike Tomlin would leave too.
Yeah,
I think
Tomlin's gone. I think they're going to get rid of him.
No,
Pittsburgh. You think they're going to keep him?
They don't get rid of coaches down there.
I know.
They've had three coaches. Yeah. Chuck Knoll. what's the chin guy?
I don't know.
Who's the chin guy. The chin guy.
We'll get to that. Let's
bring in and then Mike Tomlin.
Yeah,
I'm forgetting his name.
Bill Cowers?
Bill Cowers, thank you. Those are the three coaches they had.
I was thinking chin guy.
Chin guy.
Yeah, true. I like Bill Cowers. You didn't?
I think it's Cower.
Cower.
I don't know.
I pluralized him.
I can see that.
There's multiple Cowers.
We see a lot of them. All right,
Bill Cower.
Saints at the Bears.
All right.
This is probably the most boring game of the weekend.
It was an awful game.
The Bears don't have an offense.
No, and you know it wasn't very exciting to watch. The Bears are not very good. And I'm kind of getting amped up for this week's game with the Saints Bucks.
The Saints, I didn't think they looked very good either, though.
No.
You know, for all that offensive talent they had there, I think Drew Brees' days are behind him. His best days, anyway, are behind him. I don't think he's got the arm strength to make it happen. Brady is way ahead of him as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas is a great receiver. Alvin Kamara is a great
receiver. Yeah.
I mean, they have the weapons over there. But I do think that the Saints do have a defense, and that might be the difference.
Yeah. And we'll preview that. You know what I'm worried about is the Bucs. I don't like their defense, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, we're going to talk about it right now for a second because the Bucs at the Washington football team, only an 8-point game. Washington football team had a chance.
They had a chance.
This is, you know, a quarterback.
And this was the Taylor Henke played lights out.
And the Bucs had all their weapons.
Yep.
You know, you had the Gronks, you had Michael Evans, you had Chris Godwin, you had you didn't have Jones though.
You would think 31 points by Tampa should have been more than enough points to beat the Washington football team. And it wasn't.
No,
it was uncomfortable.
I would be concerned, and you know, we've talked about what's the difference between, you know, Brady's Patriots and Brady's Bucs, and I think it's the coaching and the defense.
Right.
You know, I think that's the biggest difference. If I were going to say, he's got more offensive weapons now than he's ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 07 when he had Welker and Moss and, you know, those guys running around.
Yeah.
But you know, who's he going to throw it to here? He's got everybody to throw it to.
He's got everyone.
And they're all studs, but the defense, he's going to have to keep throwing it.
Yeah.
And I look at, again, I'm getting into a preview game here, but I look at the Saints being able to score a lot of points against the Bucs.
I think the Saints are going to score a lot. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I think, you know, for the cliche of it, it's going to come down to the last one or two possessions.
Yeah. Rams at Seahawks. This was a little surprising.
It was, I think, very surprising. This was an upset.
Yes and no. The Seahawks have not been playing well the second half of the year.
True.
The beginning of the year, the Seahawks were great. Mm-hmm.
So were the Steelers, 11-0.
Yeah, that is true, too.
Yeah.
Jared Goff coming broken hand last week, surgery or whatever he had last week.
Can you imagine? Yeah, the thumb. It was the thumb issue.
Broken hand.
Yeah.
It's a pretty scary injury that the quarterback. He didn't start the game. He was the emergency quarterback.
Right.
And the guy that started, I forget his name, but it was pretty scary. He got hurt pretty bad. He took him away in an ambulance.
I know. And in looking at the injury, it didn't look that bad. But, boy, that was, yeah.
Yeah.
Having Goff come in and you had made the comment. You're like, oh, I think last week, Jared Goff's not playing. I wonder what would happen if Goff played. And there he was.
And he really was the difference.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Rams are a Super Bowl team.
I agree.
I think there's enough there. But – yeah, they're a good little team, and Goff's a good little quarterback, and I think the Seahawks have some soul-searching to do over there because they basically are two guys. They're Russell Wilson and Metcalf.
Right.
Metcalf's a beast.
So if he is. If you were just to – just right now, here's my question for you.
All right, it's the last one.
Who's left in the NFL, just give me your Super Bowl picks now, and we can change these. You can change them on Friday.
Kansas City, Green Bay.
Okay, you're going Kansas City, Green Bay?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with – the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did that surprise you?
No.
And the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. Outside the box.
Bills and Bucks.
I think we'll talk later. I think it's the 2-1s this year. And I think that because the Patriots have always gotten that bye, we know how important that bye is. And the fact that only one team got that bye,
right,
they have to win two games. And then they're in their Super Bowl. So I just think that that's going to be it. All right, we want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. Thanks to Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway.
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic.
Skelly's Market.
Water's Edge Salon.
Lucas Roasting Company.
Duran Independent Insurance.
Carroll County Oil.
Downtown Grill and Cafe.
Weston Auto Body.
Linda's Flowers.
Bradley's Hardware.
And the Full Belly Bar and Grill.
We will be back with you on Friday at 4:30 for more Mike and the Hoss, powered by the Yum Yum Shop on WASR. Have a good couple days.
Take care.